To the passage that we read together in Genesis chapter 32, and we shall take a look at the general story here, the account given of Jacob's wrestling. Perhaps we might fix and reminds the words of verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Particularly the words, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Now, I have preached many sermons from this passage over the years, and every sermon seems different because there are so many possibilities here. I don't think in a lifetime's ministry you would exhaust all that we have in this passage. It is an amazing passage, and it somehow or other yields its treasures slowly, bit by bit. And no matter how much you read it, there's always something new in it. And it's wonderful that this passage is, not only is it an interesting passage, but it is also a very instructive passage. And I think it is particularly instructive on the matter of prayer. And Jacob's prayer here, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And what is wound up in that word is just quite amazing, really. Jacob, of course, was the one in whom the purpose of God for the salvation of his people, the purpose of God for the coming, to prepare the coming of the Messiah. And he was, as we looked at before, he had this amazing reception, more than any worldly reception could ever be. There was this: the angels of God met him. And we realize, and I think this is important for us to remember, that what we have here, this development of the history here, is not just something which is just a small thing in the history of the world. The history of the world overarches everything. But that it's not like that at all. But that it is the other way round. This is the true history of this world. This is the reason why this world exists. This is the reason for all history. And that is the preparation for the Messiah and the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the things of this world, the history and the politics and even the wars, some way or other, all these things are subservient to God's plan and purpose. There is nothing in this world that is not controlled by him. And although there are many things that we cannot understand, yet we have to put our trust in this, that the big thing is not the history of the world as we know it, but that the big thing is the history of the salvation of God's people. So here he is, as he is approaching the border, coming back into the land of Canaan. Remember, He had fallen out with his brother. His brother was seeking to do him harm to the extent that he had to flee. And he went to Padanaram, and he out there just for a short time, supposedly, but he ended up spending 20 years there. And this is him on his way back. On his way out, the angels met him at Bethel, and we read the story of the amazing ladder up to heaven. And then on the way back, after the 20 years, here he is now. He went out with just his rod, his staff, and nothing else. He had a stone for his pillow. And here he is coming back, a wealthy man with enormous wealth, with all these flocks and cattle. God had blessed him. And the problem, of course, was that he had to meet Esau, his brother, and somehow or other pacify him. And all of the story is about that. So then, after he sends, he gets to the border and he sends all his loved ones and his flocks and everything before him, and he remains behind on his own. There can be no doubt, of course, that the reason why he remained for this time on his own was for prayer. It doesn't say that he prayed, but there is no doubt that was the purpose of it. And he had this amazing experience of this man, it says, wrestling with him. They wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day, verse 24. So the great question is, who was this man? And really, we don't have any doubt about it, that this man was obviously a divine person, and it was without doubt the Lord Jesus Christ appearing in human form long before his actual becoming a man, his actual taking of human nature. That was much later. And this is not the only instance we have in Scripture of the Lord Jesus appearing as a man, always as a man. And that is, of course, a foreshadowing of the fact that he was to be actually become a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this wrestling is what puzzles us. What was this wrestling? Can we in some way relate this to our own prayer life? Can we relate it to prayer in general? And the answer is, and must be, that there are lessons here for us and our prayer life. And it is not that he lays hold on God, but God here comes and lays hold on him. And it's wonderful for us when something comes into our life which is so pressing that we really feel that God has laid hold upon us in order that we might pray. In order that we might pray earnestly, in order that we might pray with a burden for prayer. Please don't worry about the child, don't worry. I'm used to it, I'm sure most of us are. So, please don't worry. He lays hold upon him, and there is this wrestling. Now, the question is, this was, without a doubt, a physical duel going on. It was not just spiritual, it was real and it was physical. And it involved the expending of energy and stamina and even physical strength. So what is this? Does this have any relation to our own prayers? Well, it doesn't, because our prayers are just far too formal. And our prayers have far too little earnestness in them, far too little real energy being put into our prayers. Now, there is no doubt that there was energy written in Hosea about the same instance, that by his strength, he had power with God. So there was something of the expending and the output of physical strength and stamina in this. And when you think of the Lord himself in Gethsemane, now he was there as a man, yes, the God man, but what he was doing was only possible for a true human being. He had to be, in order that he might suffer and take the place of human beings, he had to be truly a human being. And in Gethsemane, read about his outpouring of energy in his prayer. And it says in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, that his sweat was as great drops of blood. His sweat was as great drops of blood falling on the ground. And what was the, how come, was this something that was absolutely peculiar to him and to him only? Or was it something that to some extent should be characteristic of our prayers when we are really praying in earnest? Not that we can do what the Lord did. We cannot do that. But surely it is from what the Lord experienced and from what we have in this story, surely it raises a question in our minds. Is there something lacking in our prayers? Not any lack of words, not any lack of nice thoughts, not any lack of earnest prayer, but there is something in terms of earnestness, there is something lacking. You know, there are times when we are put into such a situation that we are just cast upon the Lord. If a loved one is in danger, for example, we cast ourselves upon the Lord and we pray earnestly and we put energy into it. Our prayers, especially in the secret place, and I'm not talking about public prayer, our prayers in the secret place should surely have something of this in them. Wrestling with God. Really and truly pouring energy and effort. If it was true of Jacob, and if it was true of the Lord Jesus himself, surely to some extent it should be true of us. And I think that's the first thing that we have to learn was about the story. And ask ourselves, when we are in the secret place and we are spending time alone with God, is it the case that our prayers are just as formal as our public prayers would be? Or is there something of this wrestling, this agonizing in prayer, and the input of energy and appeal and every putting all of our being into our prayers? It's a question for us. Are we far too, as we might say, formal? I know that we have to be very reverent in the presence of God. And when we are in the presence of God, there's no place for idle and empty display. But that is different from this. This is not empty. This is real. And I honestly do believe that in the secret place, and especially if we have a true burden, that we put our all into it as we are in the presence of God. So we have the Lord Jesus Christ here wrestling with Jacob. The Lord Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate or a pre-flesh appearance, long before he actually became a man. And we begin to see here, secondly, the tremendous demonstration here in Jacob of just refusing to stop, refusing to give in, even when the opposer showed his superior strength and power, and the ease with which he disabled Jacob. As it says here, just he touched his thigh, the hollow of his thigh, and he was lame. And as far as we know, he was lame for the rest of his life. There is no indication the one way or the other. But I think we have to assume that this was something that perhaps had to be there for him to remind him of this time when the Lord wrestled with him in prayer. Verse 25, we read, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, if any man ever had a clear excuse for ending his prayer or ending the struggle, surely Jacob had it there and then. But no. We have to ask, well, how can a man continue to wrestle physically when his hip is out of joint? Well, there is only one thing that person can do, and that is try and get his opponent round the middle. Just get a hold of him and just hold him and refuse to let go. And surely that must have been just what Jacob, he was holding on to him. As we see later on, when the Lord says to let me go for the day break, he was actually holding on to him. He had him in his grasp. Refusing to let go. And although he had the perfect excuse, no one could have had a better excuse for ending his prayer than Jacob did. He continued to wrestle. And what a rebuke this is to us. How easy, how little an excuse, how little reason we have sometimes for ending our prayer. Sometimes I wonder about the word Amen. I know we use it, and it's in a sense only right that we should use it, especially in public prayer. But it just seems to end the prayer. When we're in the secret place, is it not right that the prayer should be left open? That you are still praying. Not giving any indication that now this prayer, this time with God, this tryst, the secret place with God, not coming to an end. But just continuing the prayer, whatever we have to do. Jacob had every reason, and the best reason possible, surely, for ending the prayer, because he was wounded. And he was paralyzed as far as wrestling was concerned. But we read that he would not let him go. So then, what was Jacob's prayer? Now I have no doubt that the prayer began with praying for the protection of his loved ones. And of his flocks and everything else. But it's not like that for very long. Probably it did begin like that. But then when this person came upon him, it soon changed. And I do believe that the prayer he utters eventually, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I believe that prayer didn't just start then. The prayer was, bless me. Bless me. Bless me. Now we know that Jacob had a special reason. Because he wanted assurance of the fact that he truly was still, even after all his troubles and all his goings on and carryings on and schemings in Paddan Aram and even before that. The assurance that he was still the one carrying forward the purpose of God. Yes, but we have to relate this to our own situation, where this prayer became this wrestling, and he wept, as we read in Hosea, he wept and made supplication to him. There was tears. And the prayer, I believe, began to be this petition for prayer, and it began. I don't think that what it says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me, and that prayer just began just then. But that it was there through the night. Bless me, bless me. Is that a good prayer? Yes. What better prayer can we offer than just bless me? We might say just that's a prayer for children, you know. Bless mommy, bless daddy, bless everybody in the world, that sort of thing. But this is bless me. A man who just will not let go until God answers his prayer. Until God blesses him. It wasn't perhaps at the beginning, it was protect my loved ones and my flocks. But then when he realized that this man was wrestling with him, somewhere it came along to this prayer. Bless me. Just bless me. But what does that mean? It is useless for me to try and explain to you what it means, because it can't be explained. You might put lots of things into it, you know, like favor me, or do this for me, or do that for me, do the next thing. But this is a prayer, I believe, that it is a meaningful prayer to the believer. Don't let us ever think that this is too elementary a prayer for the believer. Not so. I would say this is the believer's prayer. So only the believer can have an understanding of it. Even although the believer cannot say, if you ask the question, what do you mean when you say bless me? Can you say it? Can you explain it? I cannot. And yet, it is meaningful, a meaningful prayer. Obviously, there is in it wanting more of God and more of Christ and more of his things and more spiritual life, things like that are included in it. But the prayer itself can stand alone and be just. Lord, bless me. Bless me. Bless me. So, finally, there is this tremendous lesson. There is something here that is so amazing. Now, he says, the Lord says, let me go, for the day breaketh. Obviously, he could have just shed off Jacob's grip, you know. He could have just paralyzed his arms, do anything he liked to get away. But he says, let me go, for the day breaketh. What does it say to us? It says this, and it's so amazing, I tremble when I say it. That God is detained by our prayers. That it is not God who brings our prayer to an end, ever. But it is we that end the prayer. And as we are ending our prayer, we are, as it were, bringing the prayer to an end. But God does not bring our prayers to an end. God is detained by our prayers. Surely this was not something that was peculiar to Jacob's prayer. But it is same with all our prayers. Now we maybe don't always pray with the earnestness and the burden which Jacob had. But think about this. I often say this to you, you know, when you come to the end of your prayer, ask yourself, have I prayed? And every one of us knows that sometimes the answer is no, I haven't prayed. Because I haven't, my heart hasn't been in it. And I have to admit that I haven't prayed. What is the lesson? Well, the first thing we should do, of course, is get back on our knees and pray. I'm sure many of you do that. But if you ask yourself that question, the result will be that you're back on your knees, this time praying earnestly. The important thing here is Jacob held on. He didn't let go. Now, we don't have our arms round the Lord when we pray. But he is detained by our prayers. He says to Jacob, let me go, for the day breaketh. Yes. Jacob says, I will not. I will not end this prayer until you bless me. Supposing the whole prayer has been nothing more than that. Bless me. Bless me. Bless me. The end of it must be like that. That we do not let him go until he blesses. And he blessed. We do not know why. But there is one thing here which is, I feel, symbolic. So Jacob leaves, and he is limping, and as he leaves, we read verse 31, as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. I know it's maybe stretching it, but I can't help feeling that it is symbolic. Jacob was limping, and maybe going to limp. Maybe he realized it would be for the rest of his life. But he was happy. To me, excuse me, that is symbolized by the fact that the sun rose upon him. And I hail from there limping, but content. Ready to face whatever was before. Of course, the Lord had smoothed the whole thing over for him before he got to meet with Esau. He continued this epic journey with all these flocks. What must it be? It must have been so slow, I would think, for one thing. Quite tremendous perseverance. But he continues the journey here. Just another step. And he is into the promised land. He's no longer worried about Esau. The sun rose upon him. As God had blessed him. His prayer was, bless me. Finally, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And God blessed him. Let us pray.